Welcome to the Florida Grown Femme Podcast,
where best friends Janet and Sage cover everything from sex to Starbucks.
Grab a coffee and join.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Florida Grown Femmes. I'm Janet.
And I'm Sage.
And today we are going to be talking about one of my favorite topics to be talking about, actually. We're going to be talking about marijuana, the devil's grass, 420. We're going to be covering it all today. We are going to be talking about weed. And should we be lighting up?
You want to light up? Can Christians be stoners?
Are we allowed to smoke as Christians? All good questions. Sage and I, when we were prepping for this episode, we were talking about part of like our childhood was we were brought up in the age of DARE. And if for any of those that don't know what that program is, Sage, you want to give them a little idea of what we went through?
Yeah, definitely. So DARE stands for Drug Abuse Resistance Education. And it was sort of this pilot program for elementary school students to introduce them to the harmful effects of drugs. We saw photos and heard stories and
weekly lessons. It was fifth grade for me. It was a fifth grade for you as well. Do you remember?
I think
we had to be old enough to understand a little bit what was going on. Like it was fourth or fifth grade, a police officer would come and give these demonstrations.
Yeah. The DARE officer. Right.
Yeah. And every week you work through this like little workbook of like cocaine, heroin, marijuana, like how to say, and like the big thing was like, just say no to drugs. Like just say no.
And as it turns out, that was no more effective had they not told us anything about drugs. So basically the studies have shown that we were not a less drug using generation than the generation before us or anything like that. Just probably feeling more guilty about it
so we had all of this education at least a couple months and stuff, and like there was a big, I don't know about your school and stuff, but it was a big like graduation. Like there was I remember signing the DARE pledge. I remember a couple kids like giving speeches. Like I remember it being a very big deal.
And why, like, as a kid, do they always want our signatures?
It was effective, like in the sense of like, I did not. I was like, fuck your drugs. Like, I was barely like, I kind of was like, cigarette, because also that was covered too. Cigarettes were covered, obviously, cigarettes. And stuff at that time. And like, I was just like, this is a big deal. Like, I will never, ever. And I remember like saying no to, you know, weed all through college and stuff. Like I had a roommate who was like, Janet, please, please let me be the person that like you get high with for the first time. I was like, I will never.
I will never. You know, what's really interesting to me is that, so for me, so I grew up on an island off the coast of Florida. I went to elementary school also on that island where I did this DARE program.
She went to school on the beach.
I did. We saw dolphins in the bay.
your
recess was lit. And so like the culture of marijuana use pretty much on any island is like pretty high. And I definitely grew up with, you know, at reggae shows.
Yeah.
And I joke with Janet all the time that in my childhood, half the time I grew up, you know, with a contact high from, you know, reggae shows and all that stuff. And like,
I've never gone to so many shows on the island until I met Sage. I was like, what is this like?
And the crazy thing is like, so, you know, I personally choose not to smoke. I have tried. It's not for me. I am not into it, but I still love reggae music.
More stoner than you. You are the soberest stoner person I've ever met.
Like, I am the most sober stoner you've ever met.
Let's say she's the soberest stoner you've ever met.
It really is true. In high school, I had my, you know, my reggae shirts, my Bob Marley shirt and stuff.
Yes.
It was really confusing as a child to go to the DARE program, you know, during the week, and then on the weekends hit the reggae show, you know, or whatever. Like, and
so you had to, so let's, so I guess at home and stuff, like you felt like it maybe was part of the environment. It wasn't as like DARE at school was like in your face. No, but you weren't hearing that from your parents. Like drugs are bad. Like you weren't getting those lectures.
No. I mean, and it was just in, it wasn't even like, it's not even just like, you know, about my parents or whatever. It was just like, I don't think I knew an adult who didn't smoke something or who didn't do something that was in the DARE program, who didn't drink, who didn't
smoke. You knew that though. That's very interesting.
You know? Yeah. I mean, it was all around. I was like the first kid who was like, oh, those people are smoking pot. Like I can smell it. You know what I mean? Wow. Like way too young.
I didn't know what that smell was until I was like 25. I was like, oh my God, I've been smelling this since childhood. I just didn't know. Like,
yeah. And like, so, you know, it was kind of confusing, you know what I mean? But not, and I still don't think I was very judgmental towards anybody about it. I was just like, the school says I should say no, but all the adults are saying yes. What it felt like, okay, from a child's perspective, that's what it felt like. You know, I'm sure it wasn't everybody.
Yeah.
But that's just, yeah, that was, so that's just my, I guess, my background. Yeah.
No, that makes sense. I mean, my background is like, yeah, went to DARE. I don't know why, like, my parents necessarily talked about it with me, but like, my dad's nickname growing up, his friends would come up to me and say, like, oh, you're Rebel's daughter. Like, my dad's high school name was Rebel. And my dad, I guess, like, I don't know why my parents, but I grew up with my dad, like, saying, like, you know, I've done a lot. Like, you can't do anything. Like, there's a lot of trouble out there. Not necessarily like I would go to hell or bad things happen, but like it was always a very sobering experience whenever my family talked about drugs. Like there was always like, yeah, people have fun, but like there are consequences. And like there are friends in my dad's life where my dad could say, like, could point out to me, like, you know, this friend, you know, they're struggling with bills. And even as a kid, I could be like, yeah, they're like, I could tell they were different than my parents, struggling and stuff. He's like, you know, one of that reason is they have a drug habit or they're an addict. So I kind of had an understanding of addiction and like, that was going to be super really bad. Like those were things I didn't want. And I was really afraid of getting that vice. Like I was really afraid that I wouldn't be able to control myself if like any of those drugs came around me and stuff. Like that's kind of how I got around it. I was like, wow, I'm like, my parents were able to say no and get out of that life. But who knows if I will, like, you know, like not at all. Sorry, like my parents were not like at all. I was like, it's so weird. But that was my back. I was just like, my thinking was reinforced. I guess what it was like, DARE was reinforced at home, not at a military level like it was, but if it ever came up or if I talked about, I used to tell my parents everything. I would go and talk about the lessons with them and be like, now I was probably like, yeah, it's a little bit more fun than that, but okay. Like, you know, you're like, that's how I had, you know. And so like I said, like I didn't smoke, like again, I can think in college and stuff there is that expectation that you experiment. Like I thought that was going to be like really forced and pressed on me and stuff like that, and it never was. It really was just as chill as like DARE said. It was like, just say no, and I was like, no, I'm okay. There's never gonna be there shouldn't be a stoner that's like, hit it. Like, you got it.
That doesn't seem to track with like a stoner's track record either. Like,
well, no, also in college too at this time, like there isn't, and it's so weird, like these things that like stick out in your head and stuff. I remember I was like, you know, maybe early college, and Shia LaBeouf had done this. So random, also, but Shia LaBeouf talked about how his dad was a heroin addict, and so he only smoked cigarettes at that time. He was like, that's my one vice. I can only handle one vice in my life, and I'll give this. And so I remember thinking that at that time. And so in college, I just drank. I was like, that's my vice. You know, I don't do anything else. I just drink, like, or binge on the weekends, whatever it was. Like, that was going to be my only thing. Yeah. I watch other friends do other things, and they're like, it's not as bad. It's not as crazy as it seems. And I was like, no. And I don't know what really made me. I tried it. I was like 23 when I first, like, my friend was like, do you want to? And I finally said yes. I was like, okay, all my friends are here. And
I mean, just knowing you, I feel like it was just a matter of time, because it's like the one who's going to try. You are the one who's going to, you know what I mean? Like, you're very adventurous. Yeah,
that's why I was worried about myself. That's why I was like, oh man, like I gotta be careful what I say yes to. Like,
it's amazing you made it to 23, honestly. Because of the some of the people we knew in high school. But anyways, I also
for those that don't know, like Sage just mentioned that it's not really for her, but yeah, I smoke. I guess people would say I'm a stoner. I don't know how I feel about that label or whatever, but I smoke now. Like, now that why.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in Florida. We talked about that, you know, we're in Florida. It is a medical state and I have my medical card in Florida. So what I'm doing isn't illegal for anyone that's listening out of Florida or whatever, or concerned. It is medical in Florida. I have PTSD, as you guys know. So that's a reason that you can get weed. And I mean, I started smoking weed actually, like with my boyfriend at the time, like he was a major stoner and, you know, I never really smoked. I'd smoked a couple times at that point with friends and like, it was cool or whatever. I was fine with it at that point, but he was the first person in my life that was smoking daily. And so being around that all the time, eventually I just was doing it as well. And I don't know, with the marijuana card, it just made things easier and stuff. So I wouldn't have to like find back roads or like go through like this person to this person and get weed and stuff. So I got my marijuana card so I can literally just go up the street and buy some weed.
Yeah. To one of the dispensaries, which are now popping up in Florida.
Yeah, all over the place.
I think something also that changed for me just in my view of marijuana, I would say, or something that influenced my view was in college, I had to take a class called Drugs and Behavior, where we studied all sorts of different substances, which is my choice of word. I don't like to use the word drugs necessarily. And what really opened my eyes was realizing that, as you said before, like, you know, yeah, sure, we learned about cocaine and nicotine and, THC and everything. What I didn't realize, what was a substance, was caffeine. And how, of course, socially acceptable caffeine is as a substance. I told you earlier, America runs on Dunkin'.
Yeah.
and so for me, that sort of changed this idea that marijuana belongs within that group of substances, as so does caffeine, and should be treated in the same way with the same care as we treat other substances and everything like that.
So you feel like weed is, you know, you treat it the same way that you treat caffeine or nicotine or... In that case, I guess.
In this case of my personal body, yes. Which to me means when I am choosing a substance, I have to ask myself, how is this going to affect me? How will this affect me? What are the potential positive consequences, negative consequences? Just for our audience to know, like, I had to stop drinking coffee because
she really did.
This has been a long, that was before Timon and I got married. So we're talking lots and lots of years. Maybe 5 years, 6 years, I haven't been drinking coffee, regularly because caffeine can give you the same symptoms of anxiety. So it gives you higher blood pressure, gets you going, you know? And for me, that was leading to panic attacks. Mm. And,
I remember being like, all right, let's get coffee, or talking about coffee and being like, no.
Yeah. And that's such a weird thing because people don't see caffeine as a substance. It's just like, I mean, of course, everybody drinks coffee, right? Well, no, not everybody. And so I think for me, I do treat marijuana in the same way I treat any other substance, which is, again, how is this going to affect my body personally? Because not every substance affects every person the same way. And like I said, you can drink coffee, no problem. Or somebody else, my husband drinks literally a cup of black coffee every morning and he sleeps just perfectly fine at night. I don't. I have like a panic attack during the day and then I can't sleep at night. I think it is for me about like, how is this affecting me personally, my personal body, how my makeup is in my body. And I need to make the best decision for myself. And I hope other people do too, regardless of the substance, you know?
That makes sense. I mean, I don't know about you, but I also still hear preachers at the pulpit kind of demonizing weed still, like them talking about, oh, you could smell the weed in the air kind of stuff and demonizing it when, you know, I don't see any verses in the Bible telling us that we can't. And I think that's something I kind of wanted to touch a little bit with our audience about, you know, where, like, as a Christian, why I don't have an issue with this, as a Jesus feminist, why I don't have an issue with this, and like biblically, I guess. And so there are a couple of verses that I wanted to kind of just throw out there that are used. And so there's Genesis 1:29 that says, and God said, behold, I have given every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And then Genesis 9:3, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And I give you the green plants. I give you everything. And so those are three verses. One's kind of against it. Two are saying that we have control over what we put in ourselves. For me, like, I think it's hard for American evangelicals to even wrap their head around their mind sometime that you're allowed to drink. It's supposed to be moderation. It's supposed to be it's not supposed to be in excess. Like, you can't not just be, you don't have to not be, like, churches have in their staff Catholic people can't drink. Yeah, they have to be sober. And like, that's not really biblical, like, at all. Mm-hmm. How many stories do we have in the Bible about Jesus turning water into wine? You know, like, Jesus liked to party. Mm-hmm. He liked to be able to de-stress too. But yeah. I'm in line with Sage, where it's a choice that you need to decide for yourself. Right. Like, I don't believe in doing anything in excess in college and stuff. Yeah, we had our fun and we drink and stuff, but I also don't think that it works the same way with, you know, quote unquote drugs, mm-hmm. as we're saying it, substances. It's different. And so I feel like with Sage and stuff, it's a personal choice. You do need to do things in moderation. You need to be careful. You know, I think that's one thing I don't think stoners really want to say, or to the outside world, is like, yeah, you do need to be a little careful with weed. Mm. Like, I, just being honest, as someone that smokes as much as I smoke and stuff, like, you know, the one thing that is generally true that you probably hear is like, you can't OD on weed. And mm-hmm. that's true, but your body can have too much. Mm-hmm. And that's when things, I think, is when things start to be a problem. There is only one disorder or syndrome or whatever that's out there that is right now about cannabis. And it's called CHS, cannabinoid hypermesis syndrome, which is essentially like your body had too much THC and no longer wants to process it, and it rejects it. It's like, nah. And so there's not a ton about it. It only came out of study when Colorado legalized marijuana as recreational. It was the first time that it's such mass quantities that like people were smoking up and now heading into the ER and stuff. And so with that, like, again, like, you can't OD, but with the CHS and stuff, it's super rare. One, for people, it's super rare, mm-hmm. but I think that, and I have no idea, I have no medical background, I have no idea if this is true or whatever, but I do think there's something with, like, you get no instruction on how much weed you are supposed to consume. Like, as a consumer, as a patient, as like anyone, you get a limit, like in Florida. And again, I'm speaking as a Florida recreation or a Florida medical marijuana card holder. You know, the way that it works in Florida, you find a doctor that does the marijuana like card referrals. Like, that's a certain mm-hmm. thing a doctor has to get a license for in Florida. And so that was my doctor that I go to. His sole practice is like basically signing out cards.
Did he like give you a prescription, or did he just say, here's your card, have fun at the dispensary?
So my guy was kind of, I had already smoked. Like, I would consider it myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I had, there's a lot of different types of weed now. You know, there's the classic, what you think of bongs and joints, like mm-hmm. flower. Now there are pens that are super popular, vape pens, that you're vaping marijuana. Mm-hmm. That's a stronger dose. You can eat, there's edibles, there's dabbing. And so at that point, like, I had been pretty familiar with everything I had just said. And so he was like, oh, like, here you go then. But I found out that that's the same thing, like, across the board, even if you're a newbie and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that's not every doctor. There are some that I hear that, like, they are much more hands-on. They order the prescriptions for their patients and handle the dosage and stuff. I find that very uncommon. That's not the common way of doing things around here, at least. The way it works in Florida is, like, you get a max, like, I can have 2 ounces of flower for every 35 days. And same thing, those quantities in vapes and in concentrations, which are mm-hmm. like the dabbing and stuff that I was talking about.
Right.
So I have tinctures now, which are drops where you can literally put it in water and on your food, and you're getting the THC feeling and stuff, that high. So there are a lot of ways now to get high and stay high the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, I think one thing that's a little bit different than, like, you know, people that grew up with weed in the 70s and 80s, it's a little bit different now. The fact that, like, you can be high all the time and not even smell like it. You know, you can hit a vape pen in Disney and no one's gonna know that you're high in Disney right now. You know, like, it's so easy and convenient and stuff. And I wish that, you know, I was told how much I'm supposed to go through, you know, like, what is a dosage and stuff. Like, I mean, there's stuff on the packaging and stuff that just it's, you know, it's like the typical warning labels you see on like Pepsi, you know, like, you're supposed to consume 1200 calories, like, this points this. It's the same thing with like marijuana. It's like, this counts as your this dosage for the whole day or whatever kind of deal. There's not a ton of guidance. And so,
and clearly we can't control ourselves around sweets and everything else. So it actually is a problem that there's not a lot of guidance. It sounds
there's not a ton of guidance. You usually kind of figure it out themselves. And because I don't think, because you don't OD, so you're like, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've never had a psychotic trip from weed. Typically that doesn't happen unless unless it's laced with something bad. But there's been a time when I'm like, I'm too high. Like my body feels too high right now. I've done too much. Like, and you're kind of stuck in that feeling unless you have CBD. And it's not necessarily unpleasant, but it's also not the best experience either. Mm. And so I use it as for PTSD, like it calms down my anxiety instantaneously. I get like, I snap on a dime. So when I'm, you know, it's helpful for when I need to calm down and to switch my mood real quick. I mean, there's so many medical benefits to it. Like we can talk
about there's quite a lot of options.
Yeah, yeah. There's like, I'm a different person when I don't have weed because my anxiety with PTSD is still so strong. Like I have my daily practices to keep my anxiety down, but weed is also part of that. Like it's also part of like, it is my medication and stuff. If that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And you talked about like some of the different medical benefits, and actually there's a lot of conversation right now about whether or not it's okay for pregnant women in the first trimester to smoke, or maybe not like like in the inhalation sense, but to have THC in some way to deal with nausea. Yeah. And I thought this was like on my baby CBD monitoring app, you know what I mean? Or whatever. And I was just like, okay, wow. Like I never thought of that. I never would have thought to try that. Although nausea sucks. Nausea is like the worst thing about pregnancy, in my opinion, or one of the worst things. But I know that like for people who are on chemo struggling with eating, there's so much
like for especially mental health, there's like so much benefits for anxiety. You literally can't, like Sage can attest, like when I was in London a couple years ago for my sister's wedding, it was the first time I didn't have weed, and I at that point I didn't realize that it was medically benefiting me. I just thought I was smoke. Mm-hmm. But it was the first time I didn't have, you know, control or over a situation. So my anxiety was through the fucking roof. I was not myself until finally, like, we found a place that had a CBD, like, and I could get a pen. And, like, I'll never forget, like, you guys literally, you and Greg had to get me, helping me eat, doing everything you can to help, like, get my anxiety down. I'm with my best friends. Anyone else, I'm like, there's no reason for me to feel anxious. I feel super safe. But it wasn't until I finally got that CBD pen where you were like, hey, you're smiling. I'm fine. Like, my body can relax. Like, my body can finally relax. And, you know, I do think just like every other drug that there is, like you can be addicted to eating couch sofas, as we've seen on like the crazy, like addiction show. Like you can be addicted to anything. Like, you know, that is for me, I'm like mentally, you can be addicted to weed, and you can also go through withdrawals with weed and stuff, like headaches, chills, all that jazz that happens.
And that is one of the consequences of a substance in general, which by the way, I'm waiting for them to add sugar to the list of substances, because you get the same withdrawals from sugar. I mean, similar withdrawals.
No, it's true.
So it is really interesting. There are positive and negative consequences, I think, to using marijuana. I'm really grateful that you've shared so much about like your personal experience. And I just want to ask you just one more thing, like, cause you mentioned about the dosing.
Yeah.
And you know, let's say someone is considering to get a medical card. They're considering to try medical marijuana for whatever it is their ailment is. Like what else would you kind of advice would you give to somebody who's like considering that?
Yeah. So I've had friends like come up to me that are like, always starts with this, where it's like, so you have PTSD, and it's like, yeah, like, what are you like, how are you doing and stuff? And I'm like, oh, I'm good. Like I've gotten, like, I'm doing so much better and stuff. And then this is where I know where they want to know. Oh, so like, what did you do? Like counseling and like anything else? And like, I always know, it's always there. Every time they want me to ask, they're too afraid to ask me. Like, so is weed helpful?
They're too afraid to ask.
They want me to get to the weed part. Cause I start with like, cause you know, I'm like, I don't want to push anything on people. I don't want people to think that like I'm pushing you know, quote unquote drugs or whatever. I'm like, you know, counseling, you know, if you're talking to me that you're considering something, like for something, they're like, for mental health reasons, I'm like counseling and stuff. And if they give me a look of like, I was like, and I smoke weed. That's been the most helpful as well with counseling. And they're like, oh, yeah, so like how did you get your marijuana card, like, and all and that's how it goes. Like I do think you need to ask yourself like why you want to smoke.
Okay.
Like yes, if it looks fun and stuff, I get that as well. I get that it looks fun and it is or whatever, but if you're looking to get your marijuana card, you need to ask yourself why, and are there other options for you to do instead? Like I don't think you can solve your mental health issues with weed. You won't. Like you eventually it catches up with you. Like you can like you can numb yourself with weed long enough mm-hmm. that you can go a few months and not think about something, but eventually it's going to catch up with you. Weed does not right. solve everything. It's a medicine. That's for anyone that's thinking about getting their medical marijuana card in Florida, I would ask yourself, like, do you need counseling first? Maybe you should just talk to somebody first. And then if you feel like you need more help, get some weed. But I'm also a big proponent of it too. If you've gone to counseling, you know that you have anxiety, you know, you have PTSD, and you're just looking for that edge to come off. I feel like once you get older and stuff in general, it's harder for you to maintain like your fuse before you blow up at someone. And sometimes you just need a little bit of help to get through the day. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, it's good. And I really like that you keep bringing it back to the point of like, hey, there's positive consequences, there's negative consequences. It's not for everybody, and everybody needs to make a choice about their own body, yeah. which I am like a huge proponent for. And I don't like giving people like black and white kind of like rules about this or that, because we don't know their life story. We don't know their medical history. And I think I think the most empowering thing that you can hear from us is like, know yourself, ask yourself questions, know yourself.
And actually, I do want to touch on one thing, because I don't know why that just popped in my head, but maybe we need to say this for someone. Like, you know, if you're not sober right now, if you're not quote unquote clean, or maybe you're using another substance, it's not taking you away from having a relationship with God. God mm-hmm. isn't looking down and saying like, you know what, he needs to get right, she needs to get right before I'm going to love him. Like this is sin. That's not, I feel like that needs to be said and stuff. You can still, if you're struggling and stuff, like, I don't want to say you can be high in church, but like, if you've been high in church, at least you're in church, you know? Like, so I just want to say that. You're
definitely not the only one who's been high in church.
Yeah, like, I'm being real, especially church at home. Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. I've been worshiping so good lately. Like,
oh, bless.
Walls down. Like, strongholds broken, like, chains undone. Like,
I love it. I love it. And I think that also comes back to this idea that all substances are wrong and all substances are bad and evil and all that, which I also don't subscribe to that.
Yeah.
I think one of the most interesting things for me also, just on the topic of substances, was when I moved to Germany. And I came from the, you know, you can't drink if you're on staff at a church. Yeah. Then I moved to Germany, where one of the first things I did with Timon was go to a church barbecue where they had a cooler full of beer and everybody was drinking beer. And I was shocked. I was shocked. You know what I mean? And it was a cultural thing. And so yeah. I also want to say, like, hey, like, let's also look at our culture and not take our cues of what we should or shouldn't do based off of what, you know, your pastor or even your best friend does, because it is about you and your body. And definitely, if you're able to do like it, to go the medical route, like, of course, talk with a professional, talk with your doctor about it, ask questions. Yeah, that's what they're there for. Yeah. You there isn't anybody to talk to about the effects of caffeine or nicotine, you know, or like whatever, you know what I mean? But like, so not every substance do you get that luxury to talk to a professional about. Sure. So in this one, like, definitely take that opportunity. And Jen, I don't know if we have time, but like, do you have any just I want to end on like a funny note. Do you have any like stoner stories you could share with us that?
Yeah. I mean, I've had, like I said, like there's really fun parts to weed in the sense of like how good you feel. And so I think the story where I'm like, man, I've been chasing this high ever since. Like, it was the best weed I've ever had was, and again, don't do as I, this is just a story. Don't do what I did. Like, but I was in New Orleans on a girls trip with two of my other best friends. And at this point too, I've probably only been high maybe one or two times in my ever at this point, but we're on vacation. We're in New Orleans. It's a girls trip. Hell yeah. And we're in like the town square. And I just like remember the three of us were like looking at each other. And my one friend was like, it would be really great right now. And like, we had some weed. And I was like, yeah, that would be great. And on cue, our third friend acts like a motherfucking like sonar device. She like turns her body in like 180, like goes around the park. It's like surveillance. It's like da 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 da, like zooms in, like she like stops her body and like zones in on this dude and just takes off charging towards this guy. under a tree with a bike and like these blonde big ass dreads. And he, she goes up to him. We're just like trailing after her. Like, okay, this is fine. This is fine. We're in New Orleans. Everything's fine. We're not around 500 people in this public ass town square. So like she just goes up to this dude and she's like, hello, good sir. And he's like, hello. She's like, I believe that you can help us with a certain type of problem. And he's like, I might be able to help with a certain type of problem. And she was like, can you help with the flower kind? The green flower kind, something like that. And he was like, I might just be able to have that type of problem solver in my backpack right here. And like, and so we took the three of us also, like, we're like, oh my God. Like, also I'm thinking like New Orleans is probably like, they don't give a fuck about some weed deal that's going on in the town square. They got other fish to fry in New Orleans. Like,
again, kids, don't try this at home.
Yeah, don't do this at home. This is literally the sketchiest thing I've ever done. And so like, we go back to, I think we were staying in this nice hotel too. We mm-hmm. went back to like the Hilton or whatever. And the three of us, this also doesn't work, packed into the shower. We steam it up. Like, it is steaming up. We want it so steamy that we're thinking that this weed that we're going to smoke is just going to go up into the steamy with the showerness, and it's not just going to fill the hallway. Okay. So we did that. And like, it's, we're us, like, we also have no tools. So we're just like basic, like jerry-rigging this stuff, like being able to smoke.
Oh my God.
And we, it was literally like maybe the three hits each. All of us go around in this tiny ass bathroom filled with steam and smoke. And we go and watch TV. And it was probably the best like laughing fit of friends that we've ever had. It was, I can't, like, the three of us talk about this moment in the sense of like, we've been looking for that high ever since. It was the best nap we've ever had. It was the funnest movie we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It was the best conversations we've ever had. It was the funniest laughs that we've ever had. Like, it was one of the best parts of our girls' trip, just having that experience with each other and thinking that we were lucky. That I can't believe hotel security was not called on us now, like, thinking about it. Because we got up, like, we left, you know, eventually left, had dinner, come back, and our floor still smelled like weed. It was like,
oh my God.
Yeah,
so I feel like that's the kind of story, though, that, like, I see in the movies about weed.
Yes, like,
that, and that's why everybody thinks weed is, like, super cool and, like, you know, what? I don't want to say trendy because it's, like, been trendy since the beginning of time. But, like, you know, like, that, I feel like that's, like, a movie story. That was so awesome.
It is so fun. That. It is very, it was so fun. Like, that was one of the best trips I've ever had. And, like, yeah, it was, because the weed in that moment just kind of heightened the experience. It was,
yeah.
And I wish I could have asked that man to go back. Like, what did you give me? It was the best strain I've ever had in my life. Like,
when yeah, was that?
There was some fun parts. Don't do what I did, but there was some fun parts. There have been some fun stoner stories that have come out of this.
Hilarious.
This marijuana use.
Oh my gosh. This has been fun. I feel like I learned a lot. I hope our audience also feels like you learned a lot.
Yeah,
I feel like you
after this.
I hope our audience feels empowered to do what's best for their own bodies.
Yes.
Next week. So usually we end the episode with our question for the next week. Mm-hmm. Janet and I are so enraged about a certain topic that we couldn't even come up with a question. And so
done with questions.
We don't have questions, but man,
I know that.
So our the title for next week's episode is just shove your thoughts and prayers.
Shove it. Yeah. All right. That would be next week's episode, is shove your thoughts and prayers. If you haven't already done so, please go and review Florida Grown Femmes on our Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google review us. We will really appreciate that. And as always, feel free to DM or comment us on our social pages at Florida Grown Femmes Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Otherwise, we will see you next week.